Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Gonna be there in an hour. Coming in my band, child, shoes and my necktie, honey.
A little bit off topic to start. Not that you even know what the topic. It's the show. We're probably going to talk about the Bills a lot. And this is Bill. This is Bills related. It involves Josh Allen and the quarterback that they'll be playing on Sunday, the Bills, Baker Mayfield. And I feel like the opportunity that is presenting itself to me as the co-host of the Shope and the Bulldog Show, with the Shope portion being away today and Nate Geary sitting in, it feels like I'd be missing an opportunity. I don't know that it needs to lead the show, but tough crap.
Here we are.
Yeah. How sick of a burn is it to say someone plays golf with two gloves on?
It was a good burn. And he said he's that kind of guy.
He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, that's...
All right. What? I've seen... Is it Aaron Rye plays with two gloves? I've seen it. I don't think I've ever played with anyone playing golf with two gloves. Baker Mayfield made a crack about how tall Josh Allen is, and he needs to use a walkie-talkie to talk to him. I don't know if that was supposed to be a burn or not. I mean, I don't know. I'm a reasonably tall person. I never feel insulted when someone makes fun of how
makes
tall,
a tall
I am.
Joke, yeah.
Although, you know, 6'5 is not like crazy. It's not like I'm, you know, Manute Bol or something. Anyway, and Allen was told about that, and his comeback was he wears two gloves when he golfs. He's that kind of guy. And I have no idea how good a burn that is, because I don't really get it. Like, I don't see people do it, so it's uncommon.
Yes.
Why is it? Is it just not manly? Like, what is
Yeah, it's definitely like an inside. You have to be a golfer to get the joke kind of thing.
Okay. See, here's my problem. Because I think I am a golfer.
You are.
Now.
Yeah. You're an insider now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still don't.
It's sort of like
get it.
The other thing that he could have said was like, yeah, like Baker puts iron like covers over his irons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, guy.
I would hate that.
Yeah, like that.
I would hate that.
The guy that has the two gloves probably also has the iron covers.
Okay.
You know, so
You just don't need
you're
it?
You're an easy target.
You just don't.
You're.
I mean,
you're a tryhard.
Isn't more grip good?
Yeah, I have tried to play with two gloves in the this weather.
Sure.
Where I've got to throw winter gloves on and literally golf winter gloves.
That's a whole nother problem.
Terrible.
Like, why are you even trying to do that? Is a good question.
Yeah,
I think. Anyway,
no, it is.
Yeah.
No, that's a great question. there's something about having two gloves that I need one, like on my left hand. You throw that second one on, and it's very unnatural feeling for me. So, and I played baseball, and I used to wear two gloves when I bat, but like, I don't. To explain why it's a burn, I feel like it's hard to do, but like, it's just a try hard. It's just that guy who's, you know, wearing like, what are those, like the old, like, what's the golfer I'm thinking of that's at Pinehurst? He's got the...
Payne Stewart.
You know, he had like the big socks.
Sure, the knickers.
Yeah. Imagine someone today at Delaware Park.
I have seen such a person.
And whatever your immediate thought is, apply that thought to a person wearing two gloves.
All right. The person wearing the knickers at Delaware Park, I feel like I want a hat tip to you. I want to, because I'm all over the place when I play there. Like there are days when I go out there on a Tuesday morning and I'm wearing a Ramones t-shirt. There are other days where I'm like, you know, the belt is matching the shirt. I'm trying hard. I'm going in. I'm like, I have this stuff. I suddenly have a closet full of this stuff. We've really come a long way. And so I'm gonna wear it. I'm gonna look at the shoes match the hat. Look at me, right? So the two glove thing, I didn't really know. I've been playing a lot in the summer, late in the summer, with a guy who doesn't wear any gloves.
Which I got a couple think friends that do like that.
Borderline psychotic behavior.
Yeah, have you ever tried to swing a club without a glove?
One time this year, took off my glove. I took off absentmindedly. No idea why I did this. I knew I had a chip to get, but it was in the fringe. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna just little chip up and putt. So I'm walking to, I go to my cart, push cart, and leave my glove, grab my putter and my little wedge, and I go walking to the green, and I'm halfway there, and I go, oh, I forgot my glove. I'm like, that's okay.
You'll be fine.
That's fine. It's just a chip. I can do that. I mean, I miss those, you know, on occasion anyway, but it just felt really weird. I did not like the feeling at all.
So I don't use a glove around the greens when I chip. I just like to feel better.
Yeah.
But like I've gotten to recently somebody had a simulator at an event and they were like, you golf, Nate, like, let's see your drive. And I'm like, I don't have my clubs. I don't have, it's not the right acoustics to do this. Right. They're like, what are you talking about? You're a good golfer. Just go up there and swing the club.
I might break the stuff. I'm too good.
Exactly. And I'm like, most of, in my back of my head, what I'm really thinking is, I don't have a glove.
I don't have a glove. Right.
And so I'm, you know, taking a couple swings. I'm like, all right, you know, like warming up.
This wasn't the barefoot thing from this.
No. All right. So I take a swing.
Sorry to bring that up for anyone who followed along with it. Anyway, go ahead.
Take a swing, and as I'm making contact with the club, it was like, you know, like you ever see Hideki Matsuyama do this, where he swings, and right as he makes contact, he assumes because of the feel of the contact, it's the worst shot he's ever made, and he just throws the club behind him.
Sure, yeah.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Except
there was a lot of people around watching.
Yeah, that's tough.
And it slipped out, and I was like, you guys have a glove? I'm like, I can't swing anymore. Because I can't.
Yeah.
I have sweaty palms.
I don't think I would want to do that in front of no one.
Right.
So
I felt very embarrassed.
All right. The two glove thing is just like you're Johnny Tryhard.
Yes.
But you're gym class hero guy. You got too much gear.
Yep.
Like let's ratchet it down a little bit. All right. Bills and Bucks coming up. This is the start of our pregame show coverage right here. You're listening to with Nate Geary. I am the Bulldog. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
A few days in advance.
Oh, sorry. No, we didn't take a break. Anyway, cool to have you here. The Bills and Bucks. Alan. The Bills' passing offense, everything from Sunday. I don't want to rehash Sunday in any kind of great depth. It's Wednesday, and you know we've got another game coming. We will have Eric Wood today. We missed him on Monday, and so we rescheduled to today. So we'll talk some about what happened on Sunday, but mostly maybe just the current state of things, particularly the offense. With Eric Wood at 4 o'clock. Sal will join us at 5 with the report from today's practice. Quite a few guys came back. Quite a few guys were limited. But maybe it feels like, despite that lengthy list of limited guys, like it's trending in a more positive direction than it was at this time last week. Anyway, Sal will be with us at 5, and then I'll touch base with Paul in the 6 o'clock hour. Paul is in Utah, Sabres and Mammoth tonight. In Utah, and the Sabres are in really, really tough with health/injuries.
Did you see the graphic that I posted earlier?
Yeah, with all the blanks. Yeah. It really is, real quick, it's four Rochester guys, basically, right now that are in the lineup. Right? Roseanne, Osland, Kozak, Dunn. Ryan.
Is Johnson in the lineup, too? No, that's right. They have...
right.
Yeah, no, they did not. They don't have Jarian Johnson in the lineup. Yeah.
No. Jack Bryson is in it.
Yes,
anyway,
Bryson.
Anyway,
yep.
So they might actually be a sympathetic outfit right now, the Sabres. Anyway, we'll get to that. I wanted to start on just where your... Because you were away. You weren't around for Sunday for the overtime show.
Sorry about that.
I don't know what I can't speak for Zach and Derek, who did the overtime show in your place. Post game was not
what you thought it would be.
No, yeah, it was not. Like, I went out for beers after. I was in such a good mood.
Wow.
Even though the Bills got rolled by Miami, I was like, this went really well. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't.
That's a surprise.
Road game helps, I think, usually.
Road game does help.
As far as drunk people who want to call us names. anyway, in my experience. So that was good. So, but you went around. Again, I don't want to rehash. Just what is your level of, I don't know, what kind of crisis level would you describe yourself at with the Bills' offense overall, the passing offense, maybe more directly? No Kincaid now for at least this game. We'll see how long that lasts with a week-to-week hamstring injury. And it's not like they've been week-over-week terrible. They had a very effective and well-executed plan against Kansas City on offense and threw for a lot of yards. Most of it was to tight ends, but still it was good. It looked rehearsed. It looked well-oiled. It was good. Boy, the Miami game was really hard to watch
right
from the start. And I'm just wondering where you're at on like crisis level. I'm wondering if this is just one of those weeks and they'll get out of the ditch because, you know, they're the Bills and they'll get back to contender and, well, they still are, and, you know, division leader and whatever. But they got a lot of work to do in that department. Just where are you at right now on the, I don't know, panic meter?
So I think first, before we even dig into some of the Dolphin stuff, I'm glad you brought up the point about Kansas City, because I wanted to make a point about this, which is I really hate, like, and I even did this a couple weeks ago, but in fairness, it was the right thing to do, because the Patriots were acting like the beating the Bills was like they had just won a Super Bowl. I mean, they were at, like, people in the locker room, mm-hmm. and like Stephon Diggs, and they're like spraying Gatorade on each other. I'm like, all right, I mean, it's week 7 or whatever. Let's settle down just a hair. Yeah. And you guys have also won like 9 Super Bowls as a franchise. So, like, you know, reel it back a little bit, okay? But when after that Chiefs game, and I think Nick Wright leads off with like the Bills win their yearly Super Bowl against the Chiefs and the Ravens, and it's a way to, you know, be an a-hole to people that are trying to enjoy their team winning, and you know, it's just, hey, congratulations, you won your Super Bowl. the Bills are gonna have a tough time shaking that if they can't beat them again this year, if that happens, so happens. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, they rolled out a very unique pass rushing strategy we hadn't seen all year.
Yeah.
And in fairness, Michael Hoyt, that was him getting involved, whatever. Uh-huh. But they do this every year where it's like they start pulling stuff out against that team that they haven't used all year in a regular season matchup that is just 1-0. All we want to do is 1-0. It's not bigger than it's just the Chiefs and it's a regular season. The problem is the last couple of years they played kind of crappy going into the game, then look amazing, and then they kind of look a little crappy again, and then they figure it out. And it seems like they're really getting up for that game every year,
mm-hmm.
both from a execution standpoint, but also, like, I didn't need them to roll out that really interesting.
Maybe save it for January.
Right. So I just wanted to
just a thought. I don't know.
I wanted to just start with like, hey, if we don't want them to say this is our Super Bowl of the year, we should probably
stop maybe scheming it up like it is. Real quick on that point, how much of what you're describing is this Michael Hoyt crashing into the guy blocking Joey Bosa so Joey Bosa has a clear path to the quarterback, or Javon Solomon? Because I don't know that I've noticed a lot of that during the year so far, but the Kansas City highlights, that was all over the place. Like, one pass rusher was like a designated wrecking ball, not to Mahomes, but to someone blocking someone and basically creating a free rusher. Like, that looked pretty creative to
me.
But also, it's possible I've just been missing it the first 8 weeks of the season.
I don't think you were.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, so I just wanted to at least note that and say, like, okay, let's just reel it back just a hair here. But going into that game, getting up for the Chiefs game the way you did, to I just took everything in me not to be snarky about that loss, which is why it's like I'm kind of happy I didn't, because it felt like for me the big gripe, and we talked about it before we got on air, was the lack of urgency they had late into the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter, was really like I wanted to punch a screen. I'm like, is no one else here? And then, you know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Oh, the very obvious ball that hits the ground, and don't they have the former head of refereeing in Sean McDermott's headset? There was 30 seconds that went by. How could nobody see that the ball clearly touched the ground? Okay, and then, you know, we go just for the sake of this game and this Dolphins game.
It's 3:18 p.m. I don't want to dwell on the Miami game.
I'm warm.
Instead of dwelling on the Miami game, we just spent 10 minutes on the Chiefs game. Oh, to be fair, we did spend like 5 minutes on golf clubs.
We did.
That was my fault. Anyway, please.
But I guess where I get to with this Dolphins game is it's 80 degrees. It was hot for, you know, a quarter, and then it started raining. And a couple players were like, yeah, luckily it started raining. And I was like, really? Because it didn't look like you guys felt particularly happy that it was raining. Because I'm watching Josh, and I'm watching the routes in the fourth quarter, and these guys look like they have gone, you know, 11 rounds with Apollo Creed. Like, I'm so confused on how they could be so gassed. Watching even Khalil Shakir run routes where it's just like, that guy's gassed. And they played 60% of the snaps. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So there was just a couple of things from that game where I'm like, man, these are real red flags to me against a bad, bad Miami. That might be the worst defense in football. And it's not. They didn't do what the Bills did to the Chiefs. They didn't come out with some special game plan and unique run lanes. They sold out for the run because they know the Bills do not throw the football on first down. So we'll just sell out for the run, put the Bills in second and long, and then see if they can figure their way out of it. And the Bills could not figure their way out of it. And to me, the red flag is not, well, when you go back and you start looking, well, they must have just ran man coverage. I watched that game on a tablet, and I thought to myself, man, they just ran two man, too high, man underneath, and they just said beat us man to man. It wasn't the case at all. They ran like 80% zone against the Bills, the highest mark they've run zone all year. So this time last year, I saw Eric Turner post this piece. All of the conversation was, teams are running man against you. Who's going to get open? In the offseason, it was, teams are going to run man against you. That's why we're getting Josh Palmer. He can beat man coverage. Well, now everyone's like, no, we're going to run just really easy. We're going to disguise some things, but largely, we're just going to sit back in zone and ask you to just take what the defense gives you. And Josh is not doing that right now. He's not taking the quick game. And this game, the passing scheme, it's very predicated on 1-2-3 ball out. And there are plenty of plays from that game where if the ball is out at the top of his drop the way that it should be, it's a 5-6-7 yard gain.
Mm-hmm.
And we get back to this conversation about Josh where we're saying part of him and his inability early in his career to take those was because he was so just infatuated with pushing the ball down the field with his big giant arm. And like, I get it. We all get it.
Yeah.
But like, unless they do take it. And to me, James Cook finally has a game where they throw him the football a couple of times. He needs to be more involved. The running backs need to be more involved. And now with no Dalton Kincaid, like I just look at it and I say, I want to blame the offensive coordinator. Everybody wants to blame the OC. There are things that he can and should take blame for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it right now is that Josh is just not taking what the defense gives him.
Yeah. I think that from what I've looked at, as far as like passing, really the incomplete passes from this game. There was a lot of that in this game. And there were also, and I brought this up yesterday with Mike because, you know, we get in here on Monday. I haven't really pored over any of that stuff yet by Monday afternoon. It's more of a Monday night thing for me. It's just the way I get access to that stuff and also time-wise for me. So anyway, not making excuses. But looking back Monday night, of course, like Keon Coleman is in the center of a lot of this. He's leading them in snap share. It seems like they're really trying to validate that draft pick and make that work. And it's not going well, right? So he's eating just a ton of lead here, Keon Coleman. And looking back at a couple of the plays from this Miami game down the field that, you know, in the course of watching the game, you might, if you're me, just get, oh, great, another 50-50 ball to Coleman. Yep. What am I even doing here?
Yep.
And that's not exactly what happened on at least a couple of those. There's a long one in the second quarter that I brought up yesterday that I'd like your thoughts on, where Coleman actually beats his guy right at the line and is ahead of him and actually gaining space between the defender chasing him. There's nobody over the top. He's running like down the numbers. This is left to right on your TV screen, down the Miami sideline. And he's running, again, on the numbers, not right on the sideline. And he's ahead of the guy, like, and the middle of the field is totally available.
Like, you could, like, I could have thrown
just
it to the middle of the field and he could have laid
that
under
out there and just, and Allen throws it to the sideline.
Yeah.
And it actually lands out of bounds. I mean, I suppose if Coleman were closer to the sideline, it could have been a jump ball opportunity at the sideline, which is what the throw made the play look like. But in reality, it was, I don't want to say easy, because it's a, you know, a 50-yard, you know, ball in the air, 40-yard ball in the air. So it's not like a high percentage throw, but it's a pretty bad miss, I think.
For him. For Josh Allen, that's a bad miss. Yeah.
And then there's another one going the same direction on the Bills sideline, fourth quarter, where the defender, maybe everyone remembers this, the defender tips it, and Coleman has a shot at corralling it, but isn't able to on the deflection. That's another ball where he just puts that out there in front of him. There's a safety there, so he doesn't have the whole middle of the field to work with, but he's got from the hash marks to the sideline, to like the corner, to the pylon, basically, to put that ball, and he leaves it short where it can be defended and deflected. And so, like, I end up at how hard do you want to be on Josh Allen about those, right? We know there are deficiencies there in guys regularly getting open and that he might be skittish because of that, but those are plays that could have won you the game, I think, when I look at it. And I just wonder from your perspective how critical we should be, I should be, of Josh Allen for missing those throws.
I think Josh Allen is not above criticism. And it's really hard, I think, for the fans to look at this and say, well, what's wrong? And him being a driving force of what's wrong in the pass game. But I think there is something to be said about, I think part of it is trying to understand why. And that's the hardest part about football, because we don't know enough about what they want to do, why they want to do it, mm-hmm. and when they're going to do it. So it makes hard when you're looking at a thing and you're watching Josh throw a back shoulder that's just, you're like, well, what the hell, Keon? What is that? And watching him jog her out.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell, Keon? Well, maybe he's slow playing around. Maybe, you know, so there's just so many things. It's just like so easy that if you want to blame something on someone, you're not going to blame it on Josh. You're going to blame it on other people.
Right.
And I find myself doing that myself. Like, I'm looking at a play and I'm like, this is Josh's fault, but can I find someone else to blame? I think part of it is when you start to not trust things, and when you have the offensive coordinator talking to the CBS crew before the game about how, you know, they, even if it means forcing the ball to a person that's not open in Keon Coleman, they have to do it. Well, if your offensive coordinator is saying that to CBS, then that means it's probably being talked about amongst the coordinator and the quarterback. Yeah. Like, hey, even if he's not open, we gotta get him going. We gotta force this ball. So when you start forcing things in one aspect of the game, to me, there's always a trickle down. There's always a domino effect on other things. Well, now I just tried to press it to him on 2nd and 8 because James Cook only got 2 yards on 1st down because they sold out for the run. Now it's 3rd and 8. And they found themselves in that all game long, 3rd and longs. So I think that there's some level of pressing, some level of I need to make a big play. And when Josh is in the mindset of I need to make a big play, he starts reverting back to a lot of the sloppiness of early in his career. The double backs and the I'm just going to hold it. I'm going to leave clean pockets. Until they can get him into a position where he trusts what he sees, I think we're going to see more ups and downs. One week it'll be good, the next week it won't be. This is a tough matchup. Todd Bowles, they're, I think, 6th in the league in disguising coverages. So they disguise a ton, and they blitz a ton.
Right, which has weirdly given the Bills and Allen trouble this year. All right, 803-0550 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation. If you can, I should have had a cohesive way to ask this. Like, where's your, I don't want to say panic. What's your level of concern right now? The Bills are 6-3. The Patriots are 8-2. Patriots have a game before the Bills play again. They play Thursday night against the Jets. So the reality of them being 9-2 while the Bills are sitting at 6-3 is very real before they play Tampa on Sunday. Just level of concern. Is this just another year where we'll look back at the middle of the season, some point in November? I know 2 years ago, late November, after they lost that Eagle game in overtime, I was out of my mind. And then they won again until they lost in the playoffs. Until they lost in the playoffs to Kansas City. So where are you at, fans? 803-0550 is the phone number. Nate Geary is in for Mike. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.